Finishing up Galatians 5, we're going to go to Blue Letter Bible. Still, this is like part three, I guess, of the new wine, the old wineskins. It might be part four. I want to talk about Galatians 5. Still talking about the old wine and the new wine. Well, the new wine and the old wineskins. And we're looking again at, and we've done this before, so this is review for some of us. Want to take a look at why the old is not as good as the new. All right? So, and I might have to go to the bulletin board for some of this. Okay. Galatians 5, verse 16. Oh, I like Galatians 14 because Al likes this one. This is one of Al's favorite verses, I think. No, well, let me go back up to 13. For brethren, talking about believers, ye have been called into liberty. Liberty from, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So we have been set free. Free from what? Free from the law, free from sin, free from flesh. All right. Again, we're talking old is not as good as the new, so we're free from the old. All right. Verse 14. For the law, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's not contrary to our seven-step process, because before you can love others, you have to first love God, because the two greatest commandments are given in the order, love God, and then you love others. You really can't love others until you really love God. All right? Let's slip down to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right. As long as we're walking in the Spirit, can't fulfill the lust of the flesh. In order for us to be walking in the Spirit, we have to do steps 1 through 4. Right? Humble, repent, hope in God, led by the Spirit. So we do those things for the glory of God. Got it. Okay. I know we've done this before, but just quick review why the old is not as good as the new. All right, verse 17. And here's the reason why we got to walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. All right? Paul talks about this in Romans 7 to an extent. All right? We can't do what we want to do because the flesh is lusting or fighting against the Spirit, and the Spirit is fighting against the flesh. They're contrary one to another. Now, we've done this before. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. All right. So, let me go to the magic board. You got flesh. You got soul. You got spirit. This represents the temple, because Paul says we are the temple of God. And it's broken out into, the temple's broken out into three major parts. We've got three major parts. Got it. All right. Flesh, we know. Let's just keep going. Spirit, we know. This gets fuzzy. Soul and spirit gets a little fuzzy. All right? Because sometimes we think our emotions is the same as the spirit. And it's not.
Soul is mind, will, and emotion.
Mind, will, emotions. And I like this one. How you process knowledge that is all in the soulless realm, which means it happens in the gray matter. So if the flesh is lusting or contrary to the spirit and they're fighting each other, what are they fighting over?
Soul.
Yes. They are fighting for control of the gray matter, which means the battle. In fact, there's a book.
Battleground
of the Mind.
Yep.
Yep. This is, and I never read the book, but I just heard the title. I like the title. I like Joyce Meyer. Sure. This is where, and never read the book, but I got to believe she's talking about, this is where the conflict and the controversy rests. The battle is still in the mind. What is our mind battling with?
Whether to go with
the
spirit or go with
the
flesh.
Yes. Now, you might be asking, what does this have to do with new wine and old wine skins, blah, blah, blah? So this is the old. It's the new. So I was talking to one of the inmates today, and last week he had a poignant question. He's like, "Brother Chuck, this is awesome, but I'm still having difficulty sometimes letting things go. It's difficult. It's hard to let things go. How do you let things go?" I said, "Man, I got to go through my steps. And I got to go through my steps minute by minute, blah, blah, blah. You know, I got to keep going through my steps. Because I might be good one moment
and
to keep from going off, because this keeps fighting against." That's why, is the old better than the new? No, absolutely not. Does the old get in the way of the new thing that God wants to do in you? Absolutely. So, Al, I looked at my car today, and the indicator states I only got 100 miles before I got to take this thing in.
Right.
You gotta make an appointment.
I gotta make an appointment. First thing Monday.
And make an appointment to wife too.
Are you to call Al?
No. Yeah. Call Al.
So I've been praying for my wife and I to get on one accord, that we let this whole thing about putting me out the car, you know, just go away or whatever. And so I think I told you this last week, you know, she is excited about taking me to get
your car.
To get my car.
Valentine's coming up.
Wow. Bingo.
Don't you get Valentine's?
Are y'all done?
No, I got some more.
Now, I've been praying for this, praying to let go, praying to move beyond this. And God has answered my prayers.
Okay. What did he say?
No, it's come. What I've been praying for is happening.
Okay.
Peace.
But I still want a little.
You
want to
hear
her say,
I was wrong.
I wrong. You don't let it go. You don't want to let it go.
Brother can't be holding his breath. Anyway.
It'll come to him.
Satan's still
trying
to trip you up when it's true.
Yeah. Where is the battle?
In your mind.
Mine.
You got,
even though he's answered my prayers,
you still ask him though to heal your mind.
To heal my mind. Yes, sir.
That's, I think,
but sometimes I think it's a choice.
There is a choice.
Happens, you have to choose it.
Because what happens here, this is the decision making.
You have to choose to forgive her.
I know the knowledge. I know what I want to do. But this is fighting against this. It's like the Tom and Jerry cartoon. I got one little evil mouse on one side. I got a little angel mouse on the other side. David, too young to remember that. I have to Google that one up.
It comes right. out on Saturday morning.
Yes, it does on BTV.
Yeah, I watch
it. She watched it every morning.
7 to 9. Yep. Maverick comes on after. Yeah.
But, Chuck, don't you think we Christians don't fight? That's where we get in so much trouble. The fight, and when you're in the fight, it sometimes feels horrible. And it feels like you should just give in because our humanness and the ways of the world are also saying, just give in, just go with the old way, just go with the place. And if you're not analyzed, then you feel the fight, but we've got to fight. If we don't fight, we will not walk in the newness. And I've experienced it recently when I had to go through something in a fight. When I got through, and it was horrible in the middle, but when I got through,
I thought it was much easier to give up than to seek God and do it His way, but then there's death.
Yeah, there's going to
be some kind of death
when
you give in.
That's true.
Yeah. To the flesh.
Well, I'd rather the flesh die than my hope die.
Yes.
So I like that idea. We're getting into another parable. I don't want to lay it out, but we do have to fight. But the problem is, or the question is, we're going to get to it anyway because I like you guys. My wife is taking me to get my car to the shop. I just got to coordinate with her. Al's my backup plan in case she can't make it, gets sick, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Thank God I didn't go into my marriage with a backup plan because the backup plan would be divorce. Because sometimes we go into things with a escape clause.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's already in place. But I got to be sold out to what I'm doing here. I got to stay in the fight. I don't care how good or bad it is. I've got to stay in the fight because I love that we're doing these parables. Not really. Because this is better than anything I ever had before, and I can't let this intercept what God wants to do. So I got to fight. The thing is, we get tired.
Yes.
Oh, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of dealing with this. I'm tired.
And then it becomes obedient. Then God says, just obey me. Just obey me. Just obey me. Lay everything, lay it all at my feet. Lay them at my feet. Lay you at my feet.
I need you.
Just obey me.
Lay everything at his feet. I'm going to obey you because my hope and my strength comes from, and that spirit is the strength that allows me to get the victory. So who's really fighting? In fact, I heard a song on the way here. I got my Cyrus Radio, Cirrus, whatever you call it, radio playing, and I can't remember the guy's name. The battle belongs to you. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. I just said something. This is our battle. And we will always get worn out, have some success, but fail eventually as long as we continue to fight. It'll wear us down.
And in Colossians, God reminds us that the battle at sea is not happening.
Yeah. And even Jesus said, my yoke is easy.
Right.
My burden is light. Right. So why don't you take the burden that you have trying to do right and be right and give it to me. And so I'm telling this inmate, just follow the steps. Keep following the steps. This, when we get to the other parable about the strong man, we're going to actually see how important it is for us to not fight this on our own. In fact, rather than fighting, we should just be obedient. All right. Anyway. So now you can see why the new is better than the old. Yes, sir.
So I remember saying before, you can't just totally disregard the old.
No, you can't.
You have to, I think honestly, this talks about a lot of people just try to totally disregard the old, because you can't, if you don't take the old into account, you can't have the knowledge.
If you can't take the old into account, then you don't have the knowledge. So the Old Testament was important because it allows us to recognize our need. So there's value. So there was nothing wrong with the Old Testament. The problem with the Old Testament was us. Does the Old Testament still serve as a lesson and guide for us today?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
If you don't remember the old, you can't appreciate the new.
So I appreciate the...
But that's your testimony.
Yes. So now I can turn my past into a testimony. Let me give you a very good question. Let me stick to the Bible, because that's what I know, I guess, to some degree. Children of Israel, coming out of Egypt. God allows them to go through this on purpose for his glory. They're getting ready to go through the Red Sea. The way was blocked. Now the Red Sea opens up, and it's a wall that forces them to go straight. Got it? I can't turn to the left, and I can't turn to the right. So the thing that was blocking me, the thing that was blocking me from getting into my new season, God has used the Red Sea, which is blocking his people from getting to where he wants them to go, and is creating a corridor for them so that they cannot turn to the left or the right. They can only go straight. The thing that was blocking them and keeping them from getting into their new season is now the thing that's keeping them straight. So is it possible that the obstacles and the things in our past that were hindrances to us are now those things that God used, because all things work together for good, Romans 8:28. Is it now? So you are absolutely correct. So let's clarify. We need to put the old in its proper perspective, because some of the things in the old is the reason why I'm so glad about the new, and some of the things in my life I'm so happy occurred. They weren't thrilling at the time, but my mistakes are helping me stay straight, because I already know. I already know what happens if I do this. That's keeping me straight. That hit it?
Yes.
Good. What situation?
Whoa! Thank you.
What situation are you talking about, brother? What are we talking about here? See, this is the reason why I don't want to be as transparent. Somebody else needs to be telling me their story. So what are you trying to say?
Come on now, don't be that way.
No, don't get
chicken.
That's
bad. You're about to fall out the chair. I need to have
somebody come. No, her taking you to the car shop could be her way of apologizing, because that's the real process. So that may be the.
Oh, I'm done with that. I'm good. Yeah, we're good. I don't care how she. That's between her and the Lord. When I put her on the altar, that's between her and the Lord. I can't change anybody's mind. I give them to the Lord. Lord, change their mind. So we good. And I also know this. A friend of mine gave me this Uber app. So brother will never be stranded again.
Anybody's ever done the Henry Blackaby study?
Yes, experiencing God.
Experiencing God. Yeah. He calls remembering the old as spiritual markers, because we see the goodness of God. What he has done, we're not supposed to forget it. We are to remember the old to, in reference to the goodness of God, what He brought us through.
But it's got to be in its proper perspective so that it helps us. My mistake needs to be a testimony for His glory. If it's not used as a testimony, then it's a hindrance. Yes, sir.
Back to Genesis, you come out of two walls. Something that we read over and I read over the first lots of times. They walked on dry ground, which is
yes.
firm footing, not slippery.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. That means just yeah, because they're not trying to do this on their own. When you follow the leading of God and the Holy Spirit, all right, the cloud, the pillar, all right, your walk becomes easier. So I understand what the inmate is saying. The inmate is saying, man, this is hard. And we all will say, yeah, but it's hard to let some stuff go. Hard, 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 hard. But we have to understand this in a spiritual perspective so we understand what we're really dealing with. Now, this is where it gets gooder. Now, I know that's bad English, but you know, yeah, this is where it gets gooder. All right, you like gooder? All right. Let's go to Genesis. Oh, I got to try to remember the chapter now. I want to say Genesis 17?
Abraham.
Let's go Genesis 17. It might be 19. Oh, let's just go to Genesis 17.
Son of the covenant?
No.
Son of promise?
No.
Son of promise?
No. I've got to write. So it must be, let's go Genesis 18. Is it 18? Hold on. We're going too far now. We're going to Sodom. All right. Let's see.
Abraham interceded?
No. It's Genesis 19. God, I'm going to make my notes. No, can't be. Oh, must be Genesis 22.
Abraham said.
Nope. Genesis 21. Yep.
Hagar.
Hagar.
Oh,
yeah. If she says one more thing, I'm going to go through my steps. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time in which God had spoken to him. All right. And Abraham called the name of the son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Isaac means to laugh. Laughter. All right. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Could have happened sooner, perhaps, but, you know, that's on Abraham. Look at Sarah, verse 6 and 7. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. Now, you know, she laughed before at the promises. Now she says, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. It gets better. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So basically, what she's saying is, I can laugh about what I went through. And other people can laugh with me. Because my previous condition, you would have looked at what I went through or looked at what I'm going through and said, there's no hope for you. Mm-hmm. But look at how God has changed this around according to His promises. Now, what I was going through becomes a testimony for His glory, and people that were laughing at me before will be people that were laughing at me before will now be laughing with me when God gets through with me. Because of how He blessed me, because of my faithfulness. Wow. So, yeah, Anthony, we got to put our past in the proper perspective, because when we view it from a spiritual perspective, other people will be delivered too. Because other people are going through some of the same old stuff that we used to go through. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
What did you say Isaac
means? Isaac means to laugh or laughing. Remember, Sarah was, God gave Abraham the promise of a son in his old age, and Sarah was doing what, well, not, let me be careful. What was she doing? You know how they be doing, you know. Be eavesdropping on grown folk conversations. Yeah.
Hebrews 11:11 said, by faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. So somewhere in her story, she got enough faith to believe enough.
Yes.
Me hope a lot.
Yes. Not only was it impossible from a physical perspective, but from a spiritual perspective, things don't happen without faith. Mm-hmm. So somewhere she got the faith. You know, because God kind of called her out in that whole thing. You know, kind of called, what's your laugh? Oh, you laugh. Oh, yeah, you laugh. Now you're going to call the kid.
She went through the test.
Oh, absolutely. And she's seeing the result of the steps now. Absolutely.
She wasn't just hearing it through Abraham. She heard it herself from probably with Jesus, you know.
Well, and you know, well, not to get back into to this Genesis story or whatever, but, you know, when she started laughing, who did God go to?
Abraham.
Went to Abraham.
Your wife's laughing.
I said, hey, why do you go to Abraham? One, Abraham's a priest. Two, if you're standing on the promises and standing on faith or whatever, how come your old lady ain't doing the same thing? Are you being the minister that you're supposed to be ministering to? You know, what's going on here? He goes to the priest, because the priest and the preachers and the pastors should be preaching in such a manner, I think I'm going off here, so that people get faith and stand on the promises. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Because if he had saw his wife as part of the promise, might be another reason why God called him out. Think about, oh, this is a good point. Y'all teaching me. Come on now. There you go. Yeah. Because think about it now. He's standing on the promise. Old girl comes and says, it don't look like it's happening. Instead of encouraging her, he goes, hey, kick it with Hagar?
Yeah.
Well, sounds like a plan. I mean, who would not sign up for that plan? Nobody, no guy in this, no guy here. Don't look at him, Katie. No guy here would sign up for that plan.
That's the problem.
Yeah. No. Because we know the truth. Yeah. Now the old guy, I would have been on that like a rat on a Cheeto. But anyway, I digress. We're talking about the difference between the old and the new now. Let's just keep it real. All right, here we go. All right.
So I can write down later, but that he did not see Sarah as part of the promise.
God said she was part of the promise.
That's why he went in.
God said, because there was doubt there. Mm-hmm. He didn't think that God could work through her to produce.
Yeah.
So Sarah goes, hey, I don't think this is happening, because I'm looking at my condition and it ain't happening, you know. Let's help God. Now, we already know all of that. Very good point, though. I didn't think about that. I might have to pontificate on that a little bit more,
so
just to make sure that's okay.
Today,
well, let's get the application, but let's move on. Okay.
Is there something in our lives that we don't see
as part of the promise.
Absolutely. And it's probably going to be lack of faith.
He didn't want her to take him to the car place.
Now that was David.
The
special one right here.
Yeah, he's special today. He's special today. Yeah.
He's not looking.
I might have to recategorize him to Al category. All right.
I mean, I think that's such a strong word, that we need to look around in our lives and search it out and see what we're missing that we want it to go, or it's not working, and
Susan,
we need to say, God,
Susan,
is this part of what you're using to get me to the promise?
Susan, that ain't in my notes. That came from her. All right? Yeah. So we going to stick to my notes. All right.
I wrote it down.
Here we go. That's what I get for using the word perspective. This is good. I've not seen this before.
Is you recording all this?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm going to go back to
that. All right. Now, stick with me here. All right. See, it's like a women's lib class here. All right. Here we go. And see, now they're beating up on Abraham. All right, here we go. All right. I'm getting ready to beat up on Abraham. I got this. All right, here we go. Genesis 21:8. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now, here we go. Sarah turns against Hagar. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Now, when I first read this, I was like, this woman is just cruel. Ain't no Jesus in her at all. That was my, dare I say, perspective. Verse 10. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. Did that Beyonce thing on her now? You know, to the left, to the left, to the left. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. All right. For her son and this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Woo! Here we go. And this goes back to Galatians 4. And I didn't see this before. When I first taught on this, I missed the whole point spiritually on what Sarah was doing. No wonder she's in the Hall of Fame.
She was cutting away what was in the flesh. What was in the flesh.
So, Ishmael, we found out, as an allegory in Galatians 4, as I write this on the board, Ishmael represents what? The old. And the child of the flesh. Which is the way you used to do. Isaac is the child of the Spirit and the promise, and represents God's best. This is man's workaround. This is God's best. I thought Sarah was, come on, nod your head. Yes. I thought Sarah was being cruel.
I did too.
Come on now.
I did.
Absolutely.
She probably was being. I mean, she was. The God, because she was worried about who inherited. Yeah.
She was worried about the future. She's worried about protecting the promise.
I think she thought he was in danger. Father was in danger.
When you look at it spiritually, this is in danger. Because the heir and all that God wants to do through Isaac is being mocked by Ishmael. Now let's take this thing into the spiritual perspective. Does your Ishmael make fun or get in the way of your promise?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
You're not enough. You're not good enough. You'll never measure up. You'll never be enough.
Which is the difference between spirit and soul again, which is still part of flesh. Because somebody asked me the question today. How do I know the difference between the devil and the Holy Spirit? I mean, that's real easy. The devil will condemn. The spirit will convict and encourage and set you free. The devil takes your Ishmael and keeps bringing it back up again, letting you know you can never be brand new. You can never be all that God wants you to be because you've got this on your record. And it just keeps hanging around, hanging around, hanging around. I got a few Ishmaels in my life. Sarah says, this cannot live with this. You got to go. And I never saw it that way. I thought she was cruel. And for the first time reading this story, I got to say to Sister Sarah, amen, sister. You knew what you were talking about. But notice Abraham. It grieved Abraham to let his son go. But you got to look at the reference spiritually of what this son represented. It was the mistake. It was a lack of faith. This mistake that came out of this lack of faith, it's hard for him to let it go. And Sarah's saying, can't be in the same house with God's best.
Then it says, but God said to Abraham, so then Abraham heard from God what God was going to do. And then he was able to let it go.
Before we go there, and we are, which you're spot on. Question, why was it so grievous? I mean, grievous is a strong word. Why did it grieve Abraham? Because it was part of him. Now I really understand why Jesus said, no man plowing the field and looking back is fit for the kingdom. I thought that was kind of harsh too. Because I got to look back to see what I was doing. But I just can't focus on that. Well, yeah, and now she's a salt lick. All right, there you go. Can't keep getting ridiculed. So he can't easily let this go. He can't. Just like that inmate, just like you and I, just like this whole let me out on the side of the road. It is so difficult for us to let some things go. We want to be able to live with it.
Yes.
And God says, no. Can't live with this. Alright? Now, back to what Susan said. The only way, what made it easier for Abraham to let go of what was grieving him so harshly? When God stepped in. The word of God steps in. God gives him a word and says, let's read what it says. And God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad. Don't grieve because of the mistake, because of the error. All right? And because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken to her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Can't keep it. Let it go.
Then he tells him to give up Isaac. Later.
That's the test. Different. That's because you got to realize Isaac, as the promise, is a representation of who? God allows Abraham to go through that so that he could see Jesus in the promise. In fact, when Abraham looks back and God knows for sure, now I know that you value the giver more than the gift. And he looks back. That's a Hebrew idiom that says he didn't look back. He looked forward into the future and saw the ram caught by the horns in the bush. That's why when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, I think it's in John, and he says, you know, before Abraham was, I was, you know, like, wait a minute, you're not even 50 years old yet, and you've seen Abraham.
Him and says, Abraham believed.
Abraham believed, and he saw my day.
Yeah.
When did he see? On Mount Moriah. Okay. Here we go. This is good stuff. All right. 13. And also the son of the bondwoman I will make a nation because he is thy seed. So basically God says, no. Sarah's right. You got to kick that dude out. But don't worry about your past. I'll take care of that for you. Wow. And then here's what he does. Verse 14. Abraham rose up early in the morning. Man, you can't get up unless God is. Abraham got up early in the morning, took bread, bottle of water, gave it to Hagar, put it on her shoulder and the child, sent her away. She departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. That's your scripture for today. And I think that's what we need to be doing today. As Anthony said, take your past mistake. Use it as a testimony. Put it on a little horse, put a little donkey. Mm-hmm. Give it some supplies. And just send it on out there. Got to take care of your past. Turn around and make it a testimony. Did this help anybody? I know it sure enough helped me. I cannot continue to live with the old stuff, the old hurt, the old history, and say, I'm okay. Kumbaya. Come on, Ishmael. Let's go hold hands. I've been looking at this thing the wrong way. So when I first saw the parable of the old wineskins and the new wineskins, and I realized I've been living my Christian life with old wineskins, it works. But it'll fail eventually. And I'll never be able to receive God's best. You cannot carry your old mistakes into your new future. Cannot. I was thinking about somebody that I did wrong the other day. Maybe about a month or so ago. And I'm like, you know what? I've already apologized for that. There's nothing else I can do. Get on your little donkey. Sorry about that. Yeah, I was supposed to go down the altar with you maybe or whatever. That didn't work out. Sorry about that. God bless you. My bad. You know, toodaloo, toodaloo. off you go. Got to take care of you. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. It may seem cruel, but I got to be free. I got to move on. Only God can judge you through His Holy Spirit. Stop letting other people judge you. Only God can judge you. Any other thoughts? All right. Let me tell you briefly what we're going to be talking about next week, if Jesus tarries, if I can figure out which one it is. We will be looking at Matthew 12. That's not right. We'll be looking at Matthew 12. We'll be looking at the parable of the strong man.